Praise the Lord. I'm glad that there wasn't just a cross, but there is a completion of that by a resurrection. We know that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He paid the total debt that we would owe, and He poured out His soul into death because He loved you and I and cared for us. But yet, it didn't stop there. He conquered death. He rose again from the dead, and He ever lives in power and glory. We want to talk to you this morning about the risen Christ. And if you're at home, turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1. And we're going to get a picture of the risen Christ here as it's described in this first chapter of Revelation. So please follow along with us. If you're at home, open your Bible. And so this is a great passage of Scripture that recorded John the Revelator, one of the last disciples. Or one of the 12 disciples of Christ. He's the only one believed not to die a martyr's death, die of natural causes. The rest of them were martyred for their faith. But John writes here, and God gave him a great revelation one day on the Isle of Patmos. Revelation chapter 1, we'll begin with verse 9, and let's notice the scriptures together. Verse 9. I, John, your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the isle called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, Do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and I have the keys of hell and of death. Father, I pray that you'd bless your word today, that you'd encourage the heart and the life as we break the bread of life, the scriptures together, God. Anoint your servant, God, to speak your word. Anoint us to hear, to receive, and understand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is Resurrection Sunday 2020, and we want to talk about the living Christ today. And so I'm glad that Jesus is alive. Amen. A young boy hadn't been to church very much, went with his mother to church, and he kept seeing pictures in the foyer of various men in military uniform, and they were hanging on the wall in the foyer of the church. And he asked his mother, says, who were these people? And she said, those are the people who died in service. And the boy asked, did they die in the morning service or the evening service? Well, I think we get the picture here. Jesus is alive and well, and regardless of what day it is, Jesus is alive. He's a living Christ. And here we have in the scriptures that we read, we have John receiving the revelation from God on the Isle of Patmos. He had been banished there for his preaching of the Word of God, for his standing for the Lord Jesus Christ. But throughout his earthly life, or Jesus' earthly life, John had seen Jesus do miracles. He had seen him raise the dead. He had seen him heal the sick and cast out demonic spirits and heal every kind of infirmity that mankind could have. He showed that he had full authority over all things, which proved he was the Son of God. He had seen the risen Christ even after his resurrection. And over 500 saw Jesus after his resurrection. There's wonderful proof that Jesus is alive and resurrected from the dead. We don't have to wonder if it's true or not. There's more evidence of that than anything in the world. But now John sees him in a different light. It was the same Jesus, but John sees him as one who has conquered death. He sees him as the glorified Christ with all the glory that he had before the world was when he was with his Father in eternity past. And he sees him, the one who conquered death. He sees Christ as the high priest. And he sees Christ as not only one who could raise the dead, but he sees him as the resurrection and the life. And maybe John here remembers when the words Jesus spoke when he was still on the earth. He remembered at one time that Jesus said the thief does not come to steal, except to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And so we know that Jesus is about life. He's about powerful life. He's about giving life. And he does give eternal life to whosoever will. Praise the Lord. First, we see that in the 18th verse, we'll take most of our text from there. And we see that Jesus says to John, he says, I am he who lives. He doesn't say, I was somebody you heard about long ago that died. But he says, I am he who lives. And presently he lives. Praise the Lord. And John would see Jesus again, but this time he would see the glorified Christ, the exalted Christ, in all of his glory, which he never saw before in his earthly life. Yes, he had glimpses of that on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John, they saw Jesus transfigured, and his garments became white and shining, but not to the extent that they were here. Jesus had ascended back to the Father. He's at the right hand of the Father, and he lived in a glory that was powerful and mighty. And the weightiness and the heaviness of that glory was so powerful that John fell at his feet as dead. And now he sees Jesus, the glorified Christ, so great and so powerful that he falls at his feet as dead. And you know, the human body, flesh and blood body that we have, doesn't seem to be able to take only so much of God, the weightiness and the heaviness of God's glory. And one day we'll have a transformed body, a glorified body, and we'll be able to be in his presence forever. Praise God. The Bible tells us flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, but there's a greater body that God has prepared for us, a glorified body like unto his glorious body when he was raised from the dead. So we have that promise. Praise the Lord. And so today we serve a risen Christ, an exalted Savior who conquered death, who is alive, and who is all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present. It's hard for us to grasp that God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present. Amen. You're present here today. Wherever you are, you're present there, but you're not present somewhere else at the same time. But while we're celebrating the resurrection of Christ right here in this country, in this place, thousands, probably millions, are celebrating the resurrection of Christ. The presence of God is just as strong and real there as it is here, because God is all-present. Hallelujah. He's a risen Savior. And he sees you today. He knows you. He knows where you are in life. He has experienced the struggles. He's been where you are. He's walked where you've walked. Amen. He's been in humanity. He never sinned. That's the difference between us and him. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God except Jesus. He never sinned. But we know that he felt all the feelings, had all the emotions that you have. He went through everything that you went through. And he knows what it is to walk in your shoes, so to speak. Because he became God in heaven, became flesh, became humanity, and dwelt among us. And so we know that he knows. And Jesus' words here, he says, do not fear, or fear not. And we don't have to fear, because the Creator is alive. The one who spoke the worlds into existence. It says here, his voice as the sound of many waters. The voice that spoke the world into existence, that put the stars in space, that put the planets in rotation, that spoke his powerful word, and everything happened. Amen. Everything didn't evolve from some lower form of life. I want to tell you, life came from life, and God is life. That's where all creation came from. And that's where you and I came from. Praise the Lord. God created us. And Jesus says here to John, he says, do not fear. Don't fear death. Don't fear hell. Jesus is in charge. And anything in life or death, Jesus has conquered. So we don't have to be a fearful people. That is, if we're born again of God's Spirit, we're his people, and we're living for him. If you're not living for him, you have everything to be afraid of. But if you've invited Christ as your Savior, we need to know that he conquered all, and he's taken the fear of death and hell away from us. Praise God. In the book of Romans chapter 8, there's some very powerful words there that the apostle gives us, where it says, what shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, we're talking about the Creator of the ends of the earth that spoke world into existence. He's for you, not against you. He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? That means all things that he sees that you and I need, not all things that people see you need, but what you need. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who also is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Because you see, Jesus not only is our Savior, but he is our high priest. He's a mediator between God and man. He stands between God and man, and he takes our petitions to the Father. Praise the Lord. And then it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, if you're living with God and walking with God, serving God, you don't have to worry about God being absent from your life. He'll be present. And he says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities. You know, if God's in charge of everything between death and life, that pretty much covers it, doesn't it? Man. Neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we know we can have this assurance and this security if we're walking with God and living for God and serving him, that we are taken care of, that nothing between death and life is going to destroy us. And I know many people take these verses to mean that, to say that if once you're saved, that nothing can take you away from God. And that's true. Nothing can. But God still gives us a choice, a free will. And there's people that have been born again of God's Spirit and lived for God for many years, but have turned away from God and turned their back on God. And they turn their back on this promise here in Scripture when they do so. But we're living for God and walking with God. And we have the assurance that nothing between life and death is going to separate us if we're walking with Christ, our Savior. Praise the Lord. And so we know that God is eternally, Christ is eternally alive. And God is life. God gives life. And if we think about it, if we read Scripture, in heaven there is nothing but life in heaven. There's no death in heaven. There's no funeral homes. There's no heart hospitals. There's no cancer wards in heaven. In heaven we read about there's a tree of life there that people may partake of and live forever. And there's also a river of life flowing around the throne of God. And there's also a book of life. And if you're born again Christian, your name is there, showing that you're a citizen of that world. The Scriptures say that we are our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. So we know that God is in charge and God is about life. Hallelujah. Years ago, there was a man named William Cowper. You may not recognize the name, but he was, his study to be a lawyer, but and this was many years ago. But in his time, when he was supposed to take his test and stand before the people that he was to be questioned by, is his, with his ability and his training to be able to be a lawyer. And he became so upset overnight before the test the next morning that he just completely lost it. As a matter of fact, he lost it so bad that his parents had to put him in an insane asylum. And it was there that he began to read the Bible. Scripture was given to him. And he was reading a passage in Zechariah 13 where it says, there is a fountain that is poured out from above to the cleansing from sin and shame. And God began to speak to his heart, and there he was saved. He was born again. And God began to use that man. He wrote the song we know so well. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilt and stains. And so he wrote many songs, became one that would proclaim Christ and promote Christ. And he was full of fear before, but when he got the revelation of what Jesus had done for him on the cross, he was not fearful anymore. And he is proof of the resurrecting power of Christ. As you and I are, all believers are proof that Jesus lives. All believers are proof of his resurrection. Praise the Lord. In the book of Acts chapter 1, it says that Jesus showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. In the book of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul, which is a resurrection chapter, Paul gives the list of people who saw Jesus after his resurrection. The 12 apostles saw him. Cephas, Peter saw him. And Paul says, last of all, he was seen by me as one born out of due time. And so we know there are many, many proofs of the infallible proofs of the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Amen. And so you and I, all born-again believers, we may not see him with physical eyes, but we will see him one day, praise the Lord. But we know that he's alive because he lives in us. Before Jesus come into your heart, the Bible tells us what we once were before the resurrection. Before we were saved, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And Paul addresses the people at Ephesus. And Ephesus was a wild city where all kinds of foolish things and sinful things went on. And God established a church there in Ephesus. And Paul writes a letter to them. There have been people truly born again, truly raised from spiritual death to spiritual life there. And he says in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, and once you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," that's the devil, "the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." We once were in pursuit of things that were about spiritual darkness and not about spiritual light. And people today are in pursuit many times of things that are spiritually dark. Things that can never save them, only that push them further and further from the light of Christ. And that's the way it was with Ephesus at first. At that town. And he says, "Among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath." That means they were once people headed for the certain wrath and judgment of God. But God had great mercy upon them and upon us, and provided a means where the mankind could be saved, because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Something had to be done in order for mankind to be saved. And we know that Christ did that when he paid the debt of sin on the cross. And not only that, but he has the power to give life to whosoever will, because he conquered death and showed that he had authority over death as well. Okay? Amen. And he lives here and now to bring people from death, defeat, hopelessness, despair to life. To have a reason for living. To have an eternity with God. My friend, we've got a reason to live today. We've got a reason to walk and live and move and have our being. And that's to promote Christ. Amen. We can live in confidence. We can have the joy of the Lord in our life. We can have hope. We can have grace. We can have strength. We can have a certainty and assurance that whatever life offers us, that God will walk with us and be with us, never leave us. He'll walk with us all the way. Hallelujah. So we serve a living Christ. Back in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, the passage we read, verse 18. "I am he who lives." Secondly, he was dead. "And he died at his crucifixion. In that he died for our sins, the only death he ever died. He was eternally with the Father before the world began, before in eternity past. By many today, they still leave Jesus on that cross and don't speak much about the resurrection. And some see Jesus as only a historical figure. Many religions can show you the tombs of their leaders, but no empty tomb. You can go to Red Square in Russia today and they can show you the body of Lenin laying there, the founder of communism, in Red Square. Amen. Tell you when he died in 1924. And unless he was born, unless he got saved somewhere along the line, he's been in hell since 1924. That isn't life. And communists persecuted Christianity and tortured and killed thousands of Christian people just because they claimed Christ. But Jesus is still alive. Communism is dead there in many parts of the world, still living in other parts of the world. But Christianity goes on in Russia. There are many churches and people that live God and serve God in Russia today. Amen. It's still a hard place, a difficult place, but there's still a church there. Praise the Lord. Okay? And Jesus is not seen as deity or as God by many cults. And he is seen as just a great man or a good man by unregenerate man, people who are dead in their sins. Because you see, Jesus died, but Jesus never died spiritually. He never died because of sin in his life. He died physically to pay for our sins. And people today, many are dead in trespasses and sins and will die without Christ and will be eternally separated from God unless they come to the knowledge of the truth and to the faith that Jesus died and rose again for them and for us. And people are dead in unbelief in many places. And atheism spreads throughout our country today in many places. As a matter of fact, atheism has become a religion of itself. I don't know what for. Anyway, they don't believe in anything. But unbelief is a great problem in our world today. Many people don't believe there's a heaven, don't believe there's a judgment, and no hell, of course. And death is seen as simply passing out of existence. But the Bible teaches far different, that there is an eternity for the living and an eternity for the believer and the unbeliever. There is an eternal heaven for the believer. There's an eternal hell for the unbeliever. And so, people are dead in trespasses and sin. Many are dead in unbelief. People with no future and no hope. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 and 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. If it's just for this life, then it would be miserable. And I heard a man say one time, well, if it's just living for God, if it was just for this life and there was nothing else after that, I'd still want to live for God because of the peace I have in my heart. You know, that's a foolish thing. We live for Christ and love Him, and because there's an eternity, we have peace and we have hope because there is an eternal life to be gained at the end. Amen. We don't just live and die and cease to exist completely. We, our spirit man, soul and spirit, go to be with Jesus immediately when we're saved, when we die physically. So, because Jesus' resurrection, believers have a future and a hope. And the prophet Jeremiah, he had to prophesy in a very hard time. And he wept and cried because he couldn't get Israel to repent and come back to the God that saved them, or that brought them out of Egypt. And Jeremiah, at the end of Jeremiah, is the book of Lamentations, and there's just simply the laments or the sorrows that Jeremiah had because he couldn't get Israel to repent and turn back to God. But God gave Jeremiah assurance even in the midst of that. And in his book, chapter 29, verse 11, he tells us that, and I believe we can lay claim to this promise as well. And God tells Jeremiah, I believe in us. He says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Now God's telling you what he thinks of you. Not this preacher, but God's telling you what he thinks. Thoughts of peace. Amen. Not thoughts of evil. To give you a future and to give you a hope. God has a wonderful future, a plan for you and I. It's wonderful to know that you're saved right now. You're headed for that future. But God has given us a future and given us a hope. And that we will dwell with Him eternally. Amen. Praise God. And so I can't keep from... Yeah, I can, but I'm not. I'm going to bring this up. Out here, 10 or 12 miles east of town, is a little place called Little Hope. And there's a historical marker there because the little community there was called Little Hope because there's little hope that it would exist for over a year. But there's a church there, a Baptist church there. I wouldn't name my church this. It's called Little Hope Baptist Church. But it has existed, and it's still, people go to church there, and that's been over 100 years. Thank God for hope. Amen. I know that God gives us, by the way, it's right across the street from Little Hope Cemetery. That really doesn't ring a bell either. But anyway, God gives us hope. God says, I am going to give you a future and give you a hope. Amen. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things passed away and all things are become new. Amen. And Jesus or God said to John the Revelator, Revelation 21, 5, I then he who sit on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. So we know that we have a risen Christ who has an eternity, a future, and a hope for you and I. Hallelujah. When life gets bad and things happen and good, bad things happen to good people sometimes. Amen. But I can tell you something. God is still in charge and God is always good. He can't be anything but good because He is good. And we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but God in His goodness leads us to repentance so we can be in peace with Him and have a future and a hope. Praise the Lord. And Jesus willingly laid down His life for us. In John chapter 10, verse 17, he says, "Therefore my Father loves me because I laid down my life that I may take it again." You know, yes, the soldiers, they did their old horrible things and Jesus bled and died. But He made the choice to lay down His life because He loved you, and you can take it personally, each of us. He said, "No one takes it from me. I lay it down of myself." And then Jesus said, "I have power to lay down my life and I have power to take it again." He did both. "This command I have received from my Father." They didn't take it from Him. He gave it because of a love that's beyond our complete understanding. We understand God's love enough that He loves us and wants us to be saved. But His love is powerful, and more and greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And He did. And He's alive forevermore. Death doesn't exist in Him forever. It says in the Revelation here, He says, "I am alive forevermore." Revelation 1:18. "Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death." And so He's alive forevermore. Death doesn't exist in Him forever. He can never be crucified again. And I'm thankful they can never nail spikes in the hands of my precious Savior ever again. They can never say insulting things to Him again at the cross. They cannot mock and ridicule Him like they did at the cross ever again. It's not going to happen. Because when He comes a second time, He's not coming to pay a debt of sin. He's not come to die on a cross again. He's coming as a resurrected, glorified Christ. And John said, "I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness He judges and makes war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and out of His mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword, that with it He should smite the nations. And He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress in the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." My friend, when He comes back, He's going to come back and destroy the armies of the Antichrist. I'm going to tell you, He's going to absolutely put out the devil's eyes forever. And we'll be here, and Christ will set up His throne of glory and rule and reign in righteousness for 1,000 years of peace. My friend, there will come a day when you'll never have to battle against sin in your own life and its consequences. Amen. Because you're going to be going to a place that has no sin in heaven. It's completely pure, completely holy, and sin doesn't exist there. And that's where we're headed, my friend. That's all because Jesus not only laid down His life, but rose again from the dead and gives eternal life. And He invites everyone. He says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. Let him who is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him partake of the water of life freely." He offers it to all mankind. Amen. Last of all, Jesus has authority over death and hell. I'm glad He does. His resurrection guarantees our resurrection. Lazarus died during Jesus' earthly ministry, and his sisters were sorrowful because Jesus had died. And they came to Jesus and said, "Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died." And Jesus said, "He'll rise again." Mary or Martha one said, "I know, Lord, that He'll rise again in the resurrection." And Jesus made a powerful statement, one of the I ams of the book of John. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Amen. And so we know that Jesus called Lazarus, says, "Lazarus, come forth." Bound hand and foot in grave clothes, he came out. Because you see, Christ, the resurrection, the life, had called him out of there. Amen. Somebody said if he hadn't specified Lazarus, all of paradise would have rose come forth. I don't know. But we know that he called Lazarus. And the voice will come one day that will call the church up, will call who died in Christ to rise. Amen. And comforting words are given to the people of Paul's day and to us as well. 1 Thessalonians 4. He says, I do not want you, brethren, to be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep or died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. My friend, if you don't have hope in Christ, sorrow will be very sorrowful. Man, I have a mom and a dad that's going on to be with the Lord. Both of them live for God all their lives. They're in heaven. And so, yes, I miss them, but I don't sorrow as those who have no hope. Because I know. For if we believe, and we do, that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. It's a comfort to me. Jesus not only died for our sins according to the Scriptures, but he rose again from the dead. Praise the God. He's the risen Savior. He is the exalted Savior. He's the mighty Savior. He's the living Christ. Not a dead Jesus, not a dead religion, but a living God, a living Christ. Amen. And he can live and does live in our hearts. Praise the Lord.